Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how the devil are you? And ha ha ha, I'm finally Twitter verified.
Yes, my mentions on Twitter went slightly wild this morning after you CC'd me in on your, I'm going to say, boastful message about you finally getting boastful. Twitter verified. It's been a long road, Chris. It's been a long road, and you finally got that little blue tick next to your name. How does it feel? How do you feel?
Relatively anticlimactic, but you and Joey have been bullying me for like 3 years.
Kind of
got it like 3 months ago. He's like, oh, I'm verified. I only hang with people that are verified. Fuck you. I've got it now. I'm the better man. But no, it turns out I think I've been applying for it wrong the last sort of 6 months, because I've applied for it like 3 times and failed. And right. I applied for it yesterday and got it like straight away because I tried a different tactic. When you apply for it, you got to choose what you do and who you are. And I said, like, I'm a person of interest. It was very vague.
Oh,
and I never got
like
it. But this time I put myself down as a content creator, which is what I do, I guess. And I got it more or less straight away. So maybe it was my fault. I don't know.
It sounds very much like, well, maybe that option didn't exist when you were applying all those many
times
in the past, but it just seems weird that the person of interest people don't talk to the content creating people. They just sort of go, you're not a person of interest, you're a content creator. I mean, where'd those two separate? I do not know. Yeah, you're a person of interest to some people, surely. It's crazy.
Exactly.
So you celebrated by buying a lot of, as the people in the Northeast call it, ket. Like load of food.
I mean, I spent like, it must be $50, $100 on like sweets, chocolate, drinks, but it's mainly for a video.
Right.
A double celebration. Yeah, celebrating the verified thing and also making a video eating my like 25 favorite things from a Japanese convenience store. It's one of those videos that I'm not allowed really to do anymore. Whenever I do a video where I'm like indoors, right, I always get comments like, you're above this now. You should be filming a man carving a sword in Kochi Prefecture or something. It's like, I can't do things like this. I can't do a video where it's just me in a room not having fun anymore.
Eating some stuff, dicking about.
Eating stuff. Like
everyone
some
else.
People, I know, right? I'm going back to basics, but I'm filming in the studio, but the echo is really bad. You probably can't hear it on this microphone because it's a super special condensed microphone, but it's been a battle. I went through like 4 different microphones to try and find what was good, and I settled on a lav mic. So I've got a little lav mic on my shirt throughout filming, and I hate
it. Yeah, I guess it's a smaller aperture, I suppose, wouldn't it? So it's not going to pick up quite so much. Have you, I was looking at, now I obviously soundproofed my own room, which was difficult, but I managed to get there in the end, thank the Lord. Obviously mine's not a massive studio. I did see, I think it's Linus Tech Tips, was road testing some kind of new kind of soundproofing material. on the wall and stuff. And I think it's released by like Elgato or one of the Stream or Streamlab or some kind of company that specializes in doing that sort of thing. They've released this new kind of like, it's like a hexagonal bit of acoustic foam treatment, and apparently it's very, very effective, according to Linus Tech Tips. But he seemed to be testing it properly with special mics and special echo devices and stuff like that.
I'll definitely need to get it. I mean, the studio is like a cavernous space at the moment. Like half of it's missing. I'm still getting the main backdrop built, which is the sort of main set, which is going to be like a ramen shop and a little street. But yeah, I need to sort that out because it sounds awful. And it's not really fun filming in here, to be honest. It's been
it's so difficult because unless you have like carpet down, a lot of soft furnishings, it's really, really difficult, isn't it, I suppose? So yeah, I mean, just get you're going to have to put the old hand in the old wallet and pick yourself up some acoustic foam treatment, unfortunately.
Been putting my hand in my wallet an awful lot. Sorting out this bloody studio, to be honest. But anyway, it's starting to feel worth it. It's starting to feel worth it. It's just nice to have somewhere to film. Like, it's like 7:30 here, right, at night now. Mm. And whenever I used to do this podcast or film, like at 9 p.m., I'd always just not film or do it. I'd get like anxious because you know people can hear your voice through the wall next door. Whereas here,
yes,
I could be as loud as I want, and it's magical, and I love it. I can do whatever I want. I can set off a bomb.
Don't set off a bomb. This is literally a recording of you saying you're going to set off a bomb, Chris.
This
is ideal. Acoustic treatment is going to be the least of your issues. I guess, have you met any of your neighbours in the adjoining studios at all?
When I was getting some stuff put into the studio, I had the door open. And right now the studio's got a little a room around the front door. Before, you would open the front door and you would just be into the studio. Now I've got a little wall built in, so that doesn't happen. But I did have one guy who stood by the front door while it was open, while I was moving furniture in. And he just stood there, looked at me, shocked and aghast and agog. And he's almost like, he went, "Eh, guy, cuckoo, you know?" I was like, "That's a foreigner." I was like, "So is it? Oh, it is." And he went, "Oh," and then just walked off. He seemed quite friendly, to be fair. It wasn't like a rude interaction, but
it's a foreigner moving in. Wow.
Scum. But he seemed like a nice guy. I look forward to meeting some of the neighbours, bringing them into the videos, roping them into Abroad in Japan. It'd be good fun.
Well, I was. You've got yourself a new studio, but I witnessed you with another content creator who may or may not be verified on Twitter, floating around town on Friday night, I think it was, because obviously it was like 12 o'clock in the afternoon here, but I think it probably cracking on for midnight where you guys were in Sendai. Oh, you guys were merry, let's say.
Painting the town bloody purple. Norm Take Your Lens came up and was like, "Hey man, let's do a live show." I was like, "All right, but we've got to get drunk first." And so we drank loads of cider and various products. And it was actually quite fun. I think we did a live stream for about 2 or 3 hours. And it was exciting because Sendai has finally roared back into life since the lockdown thing, right? It's finally ended. It's been really sort of depressing the last 2 to 3 months because Sendai is just dead after like 6 p.m. But that night, it was like the first night the city was back, and we were going down alleyways. Every restaurant was full. It was like a big celebration, like a party almost, and it was kind of fun to be a part of that. So, no, it was a lot of fun. I don't know if you heard, I did. I spoke Japanese for like the first 20 minutes, which I think annoyed poor Norm. I pretended to be like a drunken salaryman, and then I just decided it was so fun that I didn't want to stop. So you can go and watch that.
Just absolutely hijacking poor Norm's video, but it was very fun. It was good. I've never seen so many people. I've never seen you with a cup of sake in your hand before. I've never seen a man so very merry. But each time when somebody there it is in the video, the Jumbo 300 version. Is that like a 300 yen version of the one?
I'm holding the one cup of sake now, guys, and it's Jumbo 300 milliliters of one cup sake. The worst sake known to man. It's awful.
But they do say that it's good because it gets people into sake. Like, this is, like I think the guy I talk about quite a lot, the video game guy, Brian Ashcraft, who wrote a book about sake. He lives in Kyoto, I think, or maybe Osaka. And he was sort of saying that, he says he has no problem. He has no problem with one cup sake because it gets people drinking sake. And after all, that is his quest. He wants more people to drink sake. So it's an entry level sake.
Yeah, but it puts people off sake once you've had it.
Right.
Like, it is really bad. It's so bitter. It's like paint stripper filled with sugar. Like, it's not good. And I've got some now for the video I'm about to shoot after this podcast. And I'm not looking forward to drinking it, to be honest, or putting it anywhere near my mouth. But no, I don't share your friend's perspective. I think it will put people off, unfortunately. Right, but you've got to try it once. It's a bit of fun.
You've got to try it once.
It's kind of cool, isn't it? One cup sake. It's got to be done.
One cup sake.
We've got a story this week from Ivan from California in USA. He says, Greetings, Pete and Chris, sorry. I've been a long time Abroad in Japan subscriber from the teaching swear words to Japanese people era. That was a long time ago, 2014. What a day. Several years ago, I and another American friend had the opportunity to spend a 3-week winter break with our Japanese friend at his parents' house in Osaka. Oh. The family was very welcoming and had scheduled several activities for us. We even visited his grandmother's home, and she gave us 2 very elaborate geisha origami statues. Both of us had a combined year of Japanese study, so we had some difficulty communicating with the family, although our Japanese friend was fluent in English. Over the following week, the family became more stern with us and started cancelling our planned sightseeing. Oh, God, that's not good. Eventually, they told us that we were not respectful since we did not answer the parents in Japanese. Neither of us were confident in the language, but also the parents were lightly conversational in English. We managed the greetings and thanks in polite form. We apologized and gambatted our Japanese going forward. Alas, we never recovered the relationship. Eventually, I was asked to leave the house a week early. Oh, God, this is awkward. As a college student, this living situation was my only affordable opportunity to visit Japan, and I rescheduled my flight back to the US immediately. The family even retracted the gift from the grandmother. Oh, my God. In public, I've only had the most gracious and polite interactions with Japanese people, including those nice alleyway pub invitations you hear about on the Abroad Japan podcast. Is it common that closer personal relationships may be fraught with conflicts about respect? Since then, I've only visited again as a tourist, so I can only guess about domestic relationships as a foreigner. Is this a usual expectation from older Japanese parents? What might I have done differently without our Nihongo Jozu? Thank you, guys. All the best. Ivan from California. Bloody hell.
Oh, dear.
I think you must have done something bad without realizing it, Ivan. Like, told the dad or mum or someone to just fuck off. Right? It seems like something has happened here. Like, I've not ever heard of a Japanese family losing their temper because you didn't speak the language. That's very rare, unless there was some sort of, they were very uncomfortable about the fact you didn't speak Japanese. I don't know. That's really odd. I've never heard of anything like that. What are your thoughts, Pete? What's your diagnosis?
I think we always sort of kind of assume that you will have had to have done something wrong. But look, sometimes families can be dicks. Sometimes people can be dicks. I wouldn't worry it, to be quite frank. People, we assume that everyone's on the level, but that's not always the case. We all know that. So maybe they're just dicks. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
Absolutely. I don't know. It's we've never heard a story like that before. So I'm inclined to say it's that family. Homestay families are usually incredibly accommodating and very nice, so I wouldn't worry. The fact they like took the gift back, though, that's pretty harsh.
It is like, a bit rough, isn't it?
Snatching it from the clutches of Ivan, his little warm and geisha fuzzy doll. I wonder how
don't
they
worry
did
about
that.
It.
How did they take the origami statue back? Do you think?
Like,
give it, Ivan.
Like when Top Cat puts some money in the phone and it's on a string, piece of string, so he pulls it out. He just had a little thread from the geisha, just pulls it back.
Oh, man, I forgot about Top Cat. That was a good show.
A good show.
It was all good. Good old days of Cartoon Network. Speaking of dicks, or people who don't like other people, there's a story this week that I haven't decided if I agree with it or not yet, or if it's good or bad. A Japanese ramen shop, and it's, to be fair, I don't even know really why it's a big story, but I've seen it around social media a lot. And that is a Japanese ramen shop has banned YouTubers, the worst people in society, the most disgusting creatures known to man.
Content creators. Banned. Unblue tick them.
I hate them all. How dare you? One popular Kyoto ramen shop, Ginjo Ramen Kubota, has decided to stop YouTubers from coming in the most blunt way possible. And they've written a notice stating, concerning YouTubers coming to our shop. Recently, people have come to our shop saying, I'm a YouTuber. I'm going to take some videos. But from here on, we are banning them from coming to our shop. It's very vague, isn't it? The shop doesn't go into more detail other than that tweet. That's it. But based on the clear-cut wording, it's safe to assume they were pushed to the edge by several incidents. I don't know where the YouTubers were from. They didn't specify if they're foreign or Japanese. Of course, there's a lot of Japanese YouTubers these days going around doing things. And then some people replied to this. Some other netizens said, a YouTuber came in while I was eating. They didn't shut up, and I was anxious that I might be filmed. It used to be a place I could enjoy my food in peace. No more. Others agreed that the shop's policy was not only great, but it was brilliant. Ha ha ha, at how straight you're telling them. Our other customers hate them. Let's lock them out. I mean, it seems people just hate YouTubers. To be fair, though, like, I know what they're talking about. I am a YouTuber. I am YouTuber. But I hate going somewhere and having someone come in and be really loud and ruin the moment. And I think most places in Japan don't want you coming in as a YouTuber because they don't want it. They don't want you to film the other customers, right? There's a really big thing in Japan about not filming strangers or capturing customers on camera. So it kind of makes sense. Like, it makes sense. But when I film in a restaurant, a bar, a cafe, whatever, 9 times out of 10, I do get permission. And the restaurant sort of gives us the thumbs up, and we choose either a time where there's not many customers, or we go in when it's closed, or we get a little private room, or we sort of stay out of the way, really. It's very rare that a restaurant will give you the green light to film at a busy time amongst a sea of customers. So, you know, I'm guessing something happened, though. What do you reckon, Pete? What do you think?
Yeah, exactly. I think someone's dropped a lens filter into the soup or something. I don't know. But it is. I just like the way that they have written the very sort of flowery message why they're not allowing YouTubers to come in. Just write a sign saying no YouTubers. Don't worry about it. But it is. I guess people can be quite excruciating if they've not sorted it out with the restaurant first. You always sort yourself out with restaurants.
Whenever
you've been filming. Invariably or you use a very out of the way sort of bit where you're not with people and people aren't being too boisterous and stuff. And
well, we filmed in a few restaurants, didn't we? And I think for most of them we got permission. The Wagyu restaurant, we got permission there. We didn't get permission for the Okonomiyaki restaurant, but
no,
we were able to film it in such a way in the Osaka video where you couldn't see anyone else, right? So it was kind of self-contained.
We're really far away.
Everyone was watching you flop around with your chopsticks flying left, right and centre.
Yeah, one day I'll learn how to use chopsticks properly.
don't bank on that. I think I agree with the restaurant. I think I'm on their side. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt.
These are all pricks.
Damn those YouTubers. We'll be back with your stories and questions in the fax machine in a moment.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Hello, I'm Hazel Hayes.
And I'm Sheehan Todd.
And welcome to our brand new podcast, We're Not Fucking Historians. It sounds like I'm saying we're not fucking historians.
Yeah, we're saying we're not experts.
We're not historians ourselves. Not that we're not having sex with historians.
No historians getting fucked on this pod.
Zero historians getting fucked on this podcast. We are, in fact, your alternative guide to Irish history.
Every week we prize open the history books and find a new tale from the Emerald Isle's colourful past. We're exploring Ireland's traditions, its rich heritage, and its long, proud history of being invaded by literally anyone with a boat. The Vikings were showing up at the monastery going, where's that booty?
The earliest booty call.
It's the booty call you didn't want. 50 Scandinavian Vikings showed up.
Or our biggest celeb, St. Paddy. He says he prayed up to 100 times a day and sometimes during the night.
That's what a 5-year-old would say. I prayed 100 times, I swear. Patrick also said he was fastest in his slippers. He's a fucking Billy Bullshitter.
If, like us, you're the kind of person who's interested in history, but not so interested that you'd go read a book about it or listen to actual experts, then this is the show for you.
This is History Done Differently, with a couple of facts and plenty of crack.
So, join us on our journey through Ireland's past.
Search We're Not Fucking Historians on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And remember,
We're not fucking historians. Sorry, I was far too fast there.
We're Not Fucking Historians is a Stack production
and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Now we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dawson?
We got a quick one from John Wayne, that one. Howdy, Chris and Pete. How are y'all doing? My name is John Wayne Tingley, and I'm a professionally trained actor of 8 years from Houston, Texas. How hard is it to get a job working in Japan in the film and media industry as a foreigner? Is my only major obstacle the language barrier? Best regards, John Wayne. Presumably, know that one.
Not that one. I mean, that's a good question. We've got our friend Pete, American Pete. Eccentric Pete, he's on NHK World, I think, or NHK, doing Cool Japan, which is basically like propaganda. We have to sort of talk about how brilliant every facet of Japan is, like a box. I think there's one show he literally just walked around like Yokohama looking at boxes and talking about how clever boxes
are.
Japan. Cool Japan. If you were here, Pete, I'm sure you would love Cool Japan. It would be great fun. Propaganda's never been so much fun, but I mean, it's tricky. It is tricky, but not too difficult. I know some of it works at Netflix in Japan as well. I'd say you do need to know some Japanese, though. I really think that will make things a lot easier. But yeah, I know a few people. If you're a professionally trained actor, then something like NHK Cool Japan would be good. If Pete loses his job or he gets thrown out, you could take his place, John. Or, you know, there's a lot of modelling jobs as well.
Yeah, modelling. Your entry would probably be through modelling, wouldn't it? Presumably, like a character.
Probably, yeah.
If you're not a real...
But it's a very demanding... Oh, it's very demanding. From a lot of models I've spoken to in Japan, it's not the best job. But yeah, honestly, I think if you're an actor, I would go to stay in the US or go to the UK or somewhere. I think you've got a much better chance there. And maybe come here for a holiday. We've got one here from Brian. He says, "Hello, Mr. Chris and Mr. Pete. I'm still planning my itinerary and making preparations for a trip. I'd like to fit in time for several touristy and non-touristy experiences. Is a tea ceremony experience worth the time? Are the 3 hours for this worth it? I've read about the abbreviated ceremonies as well, though I still worry my attention span won't hold for that either. Regards, Brian from Dayton, Ohio." I will be blunt, Brian. I've never been a big fan of tea ceremonies. It's cool. Like, to see it once, it is, you know, it's kind of a good one-off thing. But avoid the three-hour performance. There's only so long you can watch someone swirling some tea around in a cup and then pouring it backwards and forwards four or five times between a kettle and a mug. Like, I'd say the best experience is just to go to a temple in Kyoto where they serve it, and they serve good matcha green tea, and they do it in a sort of authentic manner. That's better than watching it for 3 hours. If you're somebody that's really big on tea and traditions, then go for it. But yeah, I'd it is kind of touristy, though, a lot of the time. But again, I only saw it once when I was a student. Sorry, when I was a teacher at school. It's the only time I've seen it. I guess it's not really your thing, Pete, is it? The tea ceremony, apart from
I just have a cup in the hotel room before I leave the house.
Pete's tea ceremony. Bash out the kettle, tip it in a cup. There you go. Brian, make your own tea ceremony.
Just make your own tea, lazy. What lazy boy. Honestly. We got a message from Geraldo. Hello, Chris and Pete. My name is Geraldo. Born in Venezuela, but I live in Orlando, Florida. Besides Tokyo, my next bucket list place in Japan is Sapporo. Is there a lot to do in Hokkaido/Sapporo? Is it worth it going my first trip to Japan? Thanks, guys. Keep the awesome work, Geraldo. Kind of depends on how long he's got, I suppose, isn't it, Geraldo?
I mean, you're the Sapporo expert. I think you've been there more than I have. Tell us
I've
what it is to do.
I've been there three times, I want to say.
Yeah, you have.
One time, we climbed up a very small bit of mountain and looked over a very chilly Sapporo at the time, even though it had been like 25 degrees in Tokyo and Osaka, and then, you know, Sapporo was like -5. It was bizarre. The difference with in the weather is insane. Did a bit of played in one of those baseball batting cages where this machine will throw a ball at you and you've got to hit it as hard as you can, but it really hurts your hands, especially if you've had a couple of drinks. I very much enjoyed the fact that when you were in on the Tokyo Lens Norm show, as I call it,
when I was on the Tokyo
Friday,
Lens,
yeah, Tokyo Lens show, I very much enjoyed the fact that even though it's sort of October 9th to October 10th, you were just wearing t-shirts. You weren't wearing a jacket.
Yeah,
weird. Crazy.
Oh,
yeah?
Mate, we're at that point now. It's that crucial week. There are two special weeks every year in Japan. The first one is in late April, where you go from jeans to shorts. And then there's another week in October where you go from shorts back to jeans. And I'm still fluctuating between shorts and jeans at the moment. but it's nice. What's my favorite thing about Japan at night? For half the year, you can go out and it's just nice and warm and pleasant, which we don't ever really have in the UK. Even in the summer, as soon as the sun's gone down, because there's not much humidity, it just gets cold. So it's nice to have a warm evening to drink in.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, nice to know. Wrap up warm, Geraldo.
Wrap up warm, Geraldo. But Sapporo is great. Many good memories there, and I'd love to go back again soon. Check out our video. Pete and I did one together. I did another one with Natsuki as well, where he got beaten up by like a little stuffed animal at a chocolate theme park. You can't watch that. Sapporo's great. Fun for the whole family.
It's fantastic.
Keep the stories, questions, comments coming into a Braun Japan podcast at gmail.com, guys. We'll be back to do it all over again later in the week. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great week and go and follow me on Twitter now that I'm verified.
Go and fuck yourself.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're going to
build my Twitter.
Go fuck yourself. Build his Twitter. For crying out loud.
But for now, guys, we'll see you later. Have a good one.
Ta-ta.
Am I supposed to be above it?
Rotate it so it's pointing towards me.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.